looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
Give me the flats of dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Whoa! Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
What an awesome eat, man!
I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him!
You got it!
I got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at orcacoolers.com.
And with that, I'd like to welcome everybody to the Monday Night Kickoff Show. I keep changing the name of my show. It's going back to the Monday Night Kickoff Show rather than the Redfish Chuck Show because I have officially made Mr. Alan Ryan a co-host of the Monday Night Kickoff Show because of the fine job he has done for me over the last couple of weeks. And there you go. I figure it's just fair to not make myself the lead person, if you will, as far as the Redfish Chuck Show. So congratulations, Alan. Welcome to the team.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
No worries. And tonight's broadcast is brought to you in part by a variety of sponsors, mine and Alan's both included. I'll just run through a couple of mine real quick. Hobie Kayaks, Sunny Branches Paddles, Tackle Webs, Orca Coolers. You just heard the Orca Cooler spot. Check them out, orcacoolers.com. Rotomolded, one of the baddest coolers on the planet. Lifetime warranty, made here in America. You can't go wrong. And Flayer Inc. Lures, as well as Kayaks by Vo, KBB Outfitters, yachtangler.com, obviously Kayak Fishing Radio. And Alan, do you have anybody you want to represent?
Yeah, man. Kayaks by Bo, of course, Red Zone Apparel, Bending Branches, Aquabound Paddles, Jackson Kayaks, and Temple Fork Outfitters.
Fantastic. And so, it's okay, man. Trust me. It's, I think I forgot about one or two of them there along the way. Tonight we got a pretty stacked show. Actually, I'm really excited about tonight's show. I'm not even going to lie. The guest joining us tonight, I will be getting her on the line here shortly, one Miss Ashley Ray. For those of you that don't know Ashley, she was a guest on my show some time ago, and believe it or not, I believe that show is still the running most listened to show from my first show all the way until now. I believe I had the most listeners in the chat room for that show, so pretty awesome. What she has done in this industry fishing over the last year and a half, 2 years, is nothing short of extraordinary. She's gone from basically having a blog that had a ton of followers to being featured on such shows as Fly Nation, which is, by the way, one of my favorite fly fishing shows on television. And she's also working on her own project called Captured TV. We'll talk to her in just a few minutes about that. She is sponsored by a number of great companies, and I'm proud to say that I am indeed a team member of hers over at Hobie. Lumacraft, Linja Injection Services, Hobie is one of her sponsors, as I just mentioned, Rapala, Mustang Survival Gear, X-Zone Lures, Lures and Tours, and I'm sure there's probably a few others that I'm missing, but I just pulled that information off of her website. So that'll be cool. That'll be awesome. But before we get to Ashley, let's run down, as we always do here on the Monday Night Kickoff Show, a few of the upcoming events, things to look forward to coming up to this weekend. We'll talk about a real fast fishing report from this past weekend. I got to get out with Alan and some of the other folks, and we'll talk about that, and then we'll get right on the line with Miss Ashley. So let's see. What do we got this weekend, brother? We got Demo Day.
Demo Day, Saturday, yep.
Demo Day, Saturday, over at What's that?
I said weather's looking okay if we don't get that big blob of mess that's on the radar that we're supposed to. But whatever.
Hmm.
Be wet anyway.
Yeah, whatever. Exactly. So demo day, for those of you in the Central Florida area that want to come out and try out all the things that are available from Kayaks by Bo, including Hobie, as you heard, Jackson Kayaks, Wilderness Systems. Well, I'm going to go have any oceans out there. We've got the new canoes in stock. We'll definitely have some natives there. So maybe even a Diablo will be hanging around for you to try. Come on out from 9 to 2 on Saturday, which is the 9th, I believe. It's the 8th or the 9th? The 8th.
8th. Saturday the 8th.
Yes.
Yep.
Indeed, 9 to 2. And, yeah, just have a good time. Get in a couple of boats, try them out, pedal them around, paddle them around, see what you like. I know that our good friend there in the chat room, Mr. Randy English, is talking about bringing out his fleet of natives. I hope that we can get Wade to show up as well. That would be awesome. Looking forward for sure to talking with Wade and Randy about the Mariner, because I want to try it. No pictures allowed. I just want to see what it's all about. So that'll be cool. What else is going on this weekend? I think that looks like it's going to be a little nasty, so I don't know if anybody will be able to get out offshore. This past weekend, I want to first and foremost give a shout-out to our boys from Orlando, who most of them, as I said, they're in the chat room there, who took a trip down to Pompano Beach and busted out in that flat surf that they enjoyed, which still boggles my mind. But got on some fish, caught some almacos, caught some bonitas, they said, maybe some blue runners. And the prize fish of the day was a yellowfin tuna that was caught off of an adventure island, which is pretty sweet. And I don't, forgive me, but I don't have his name in front of me. Stan? No. What's his name? The guy's name?
Yeah, it was Stan.
Yeah,
Stan something. I'll find it.
Well, Stan, good job. That's killer. Stan the man. Stan Stewart. That's what it was. Thank you, brother. Stan was trolling a ballyhoo when he caught that fish, which I don't know if you guys remember a couple of, about a month ago when we had the offshore conversation, and I had mentioned something about trolling ballyhoo as if you were to do it offshore, you know, out of a boat, do it the same thing here along the beaches, and you know, it worked just fine. So kudos to him, even though, you know, it's much different in an adventure island where you can go like 8 knots and 10 knots and 12 knots and not even think about it and high speed troll a ballyhoo. But that's cool, man. That's awesome. I know the guys had a good time jigging, vertical jigging down there. I saw some of the guys were complaining about their arms hurting. I saw also that our good friend Nikki D said that he does some push-ups and calisthenics before going fishing. So, you know, I said on the Facebook post that Nick put up that if I ever had to go to work, if I ever had to go to work out in preparation for a fishing trip, I probably will stop fishing. That's just me. Alan? You there? Am I there? Hey.
I'm back.
Hey.
Dude, what's up?
I'm sitting here talking to myself, and I wasn't sure if I lost reception because I couldn't hear myself.
No, no, no.
I didn't know.
Sorry.
You went, that's crazy. Thank you, guys. And the battery jumped up real quick. And Alan. Alan.
Al. Don't start that. Hey, just so you know, Rob DeVore's on the line. He said he just wants to listen in for the minute, but he's on there.
All right. No worries. So, yeah, kudos to you guys. That's awesome, man. I'm glad you guys got a chance to get out there and have a good time, and everybody made it back safe. There's a really good discussion going on right now in the kayak, the Facebook Kayak Angler page about safety equipment and what you should and shouldn't bring with you, or what you definitely should bring with you or whatever as far as going offshore. And without getting into a whole offshore discussion, because we have to get to our guest here in just a second, check it out. If you're not a member of Space Coast Kayak English, feel free to request to join us. We're on Facebook. We don't have a website. Facebook's our website. And it's always pretty good banter in there and full of really good information. And in my opinion, it's full of some of the best kayak fishermen and women in probably the entire country, if not the world. So a lot of good stuff there. But we are definitely going to break into a offshore show, a complete offshore show. Probably we may do it next week. I don't know that I have anybody lined up for next week. I think I do. I think next week I have the Akuma rep who will be joining us here on the show.
Nice.
Yeah, I just got to double check that, but I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure that I have to finalize that, but we'll see. Cool. Well, with that being said, Alan, tell me about your weekend quick.
Yeah, had a few days off into the week, was able to get out one of the days, Thursday, Friday, can't remember which. Something pretty cool. I was able to get Alex Goritsky, Captain Alex with Local Lines Charters. He, for those that don't know, had a little spill off of a ladder. And after x-rays and everything else, I actually fractured 3 ribs. Actually fell on top of a commercial snake trying to get it onto his roof. And so he was kind of down to the count, couldn't paddle. So I got him out. Yes, Wade, tandem. But, you know, it was cool. It was kind of like guiding a guide. And we found some fish. Alex got a couple of real nice trout, one about probably 25, 26 inches that we actually sight fished out of a pothole. Had a, another good one just completely annihilated topwater lure, probably 10 foot from the boat. And bumped up a good school of redfish. So that was a good day. We went back out Friday. I fished again, another area. Wasn't too bad. Fishing was a little bit slow. We saw a lot of fish. They were a little hesitant to eat. And then, of course, Saturday, we all got out and had a little group adventure. You, I know me and Vicky. Gosh, who else is with us? I can't remember now. Steve McNerney. Yes, Steve.
And the manatee.
Yeah. Got himself a couple small trout, and of course, his claim to fame, he is a ladyfish king. He got a nice ladyfish, and Sunday, fished another area that I haven't fished in, probably years. I just wanted to mainly see how the grass was doing. It's an area in the Banana River, which in the last couple of years has been really, really struggling as far as grass. The water was clear. Grass in some places is coming back, so, you know, for now, hopefully the brown death that's creeping into the North Lagoon won't get as far as that. Banana, I don't think really was hit as hard the last year or so with the brown algae, but you know, hopefully it won't be too bad. I know it's already hitting the north end of the Inner River Lagoon pretty bad. So we had some good days. Weather wasn't too cooperative, high winds, a little bit of rain here and there, but still, you know, it's better than working.
Yeah. About it. And in my little story from our trip on Saturday, I got a chance to land 6 redfish, all of them coming basically off the bank and around mullet schools, and it was all the way in the very north end of where we were hanging at. I called Alan because I've seen them turn around and start heading back towards the launch, and said, man, there's some fish over here. You better get over here. Alan got up there, and I think you saw a couple, didn't you?
Oh, they were there. Yeah, they were still there, but you know, I think sun was getting up a little higher. They were getting pretty spooky and stuff, but you know, fun anyway just to see them.
Yeah, it was cool. They were, I caught 4 right up on the bank, I mean, in less than a foot of water. And some of them were cruising, some of them were just laying there in the sand. And then 2 of them I caught in and around mullet schools are getting busted up. So no heroes, they were all...
Tons of bait.
Yeah, tons of bait.
Tons of bait everywhere.
Yeah, and manatees. And I didn't get any pictures of them. All I had with me was just my cell phone, and without a waterproof case, my wife would shoot me if I pulled it out on a kayak, because I think I've destroyed, 5 phones, kayak-related? Yeah, so whatever. But regardless, it was awesome. We had a good time, as always, fishing with good people. So without a further ado, I don't know what I just did. That was really weird. Talk amongst yourselves while I call a phone.
Go ahead.
No, that means you talk. Talk about something.
Oh, me talk. Me talk. I can keep talking about fishing.
Go ahead.
Water quality. I have not been up north, but from what I'm hearing, the North Indian River Lagoon, probably I'd say north of about the probably 405 up to the railroad bridge. I heard it's getting really bad. Peacock's Pocket, I'm hearing mixed reports down around the refuge area and stuff. But I guess there's talk now about possibly seeing some posts, you know, starting to float around about, you know, how they're contemplating possibly adding some inlets maybe to get some water flowing and stuff like that, which I think would be a good thing if they can eventually do that. But I don't know if it's starting off a lot earlier than last year, I think. So it could be a rough summer, but we'll see. Oh, yeah, Wade mentioned the cookout. Can't forget the cookout, Wade. Thanks. Captain Alex Cars Park had a little group to get together, kind of a cookout thing, which wasn't bad. Of course, it was still blowing about probably 20 to 30, raining off and on, and Alex had a little mishap with a flooding issue inside of his trailer that kind of capped off our night. But other than that, always a good time. So,
very cool. Well, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome back to Kayak Fishing Radio for the second time, Miss Ashley Ray. How are you, ma'am?
Hey, guys. I'm good. How are you?
Hey, Ashley.
Doing great.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for coming on. So I don't know if you heard in the beginning part of the show, I kind of gave everybody a little rundown. You know, I had you on my show, it seems like about a year and a half ago or so.
Yeah, I don't know the exact date, but we did talk last year, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like how you guys have the chat while you're doing the show. It's neat.
Yeah, it definitely adds a different element, and it can be very distracting at times. I could promise you that. So.
Yeah, I know.
But,
I'll try not to get distracted.
No worries.
Yeah. So last time we talked, we discussed, first of all, again, for those that don't know Ashley, she has one of the more successful blogs on the web, shelovestofish.com, correct?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
absolutely.
I've had it I started my blog in 2009, so it's been out there for a while now.
That's pretty awesome. And let's see, since then, you've gone on to do quite a bit of filming and photo shoots and things like that for various magazines. I saw that you were invited to be guest speakers at a number of fishing seminars and boat shows and such.
Yeah. I've done, last year was my first year of doing seminars. So there's a lot of shows here in the spring, fishing and boat shows, like trade shows. So I started doing the seminars last year, and then I did them again this year. So I'm getting a little bit more used to it. I still get so nervous before I go up there, but it's a lot of fun, and once I start talking, then I'm fine.
And so now probably one of the coolest things, I think, that you're involved in, and that's just because I'm a huge fan of the show itself, Fly Nation. How did you, kind of give us the backstory of how you got involved with Fly Nation. That's just cool.
Well, actually, believe it or not, the producers of Fly Nation are friends of mine to start with, but they're from the same area that I'm from. So they invited me as a guest host of one of their episodes, and that was, you know, my ultimate dream was to try that out and try hosting a show and eventually hope to have my own show. So I got the opportunity to try that, and I really, really liked it. So it went from there, and we collaborated, and now we have my own show. It's called Captured.
Yeah, and now, of course, go right into that and tell us a little bit more about that.
So Captured is a multi-species show. It just showcases what it's like to film a fishing show from my perspective and also from the crew's perspective. So it's kind of like a reality show as well as a fishing show, and you get to see the challenges that we face in filming the show. So it's going to show different styles of fishing. So the first two episodes were ice fishing, and then we're doing kayak fishing and, you know, a few different other styles of fishing, because that's what I do. I fish all different ways. So, you know, it's really great to showcase all the different opportunities for people in all different walks of life as well.
And I noticed that you have a trailer for it on your website for the Capture TV, and it's pretty intense. I mean, the fact that it's all ice, it seems like it's really kind of hardcore based on ice fishing, and or at least the trailer was. Is that your favorite style of fishing? And even now that you've kind of grown into the whole kayak thing, and now you've, with the boat sponsorships and stuff like that, you've got. Is that still one of your favorite ways to fish?
Actually, no. Ice fishing is not my favorite way to fish, but I live in Canada and it gets cold, and I'd rather go ice fishing than sit inside and whine about not fishing. So I've learned to love it, and that's the best thing you can do. And once you get out there, we live in where we live, there's trophy walleye, huge, huge walleye. So, you know, it's a lot of fun to get out there, and I do love it, but I don't know about my favorite. Like, I honestly think that kayak fishing is my favorite just because, you know, it's a totally different style of fishing. It's unique. The kayak fishing community is amazing. And, you know, there's so many opportunities out there and different experiences that you can have just from a kayak. So I think that's my favorite, but I just love being on the water, so I don't really care how I'm out there, just as long as I'm out there.
That's awesome. Alan, you got cool. Any questions?
I do, actually. Back to the, I know you mentioned, you know, talking about the Fly Nation and everything. As far as the fly fishing, what would you say if you had to pick a bucket list fly fishing trip or species, what would you say would be your one of your bucket list type things, something you'd like to catch on fly or haven't caught yet that you would like to target?
That is so easy, a tarpon. I want a tarpon so bad. You have no idea. I have dreams about it. I'm just dying to do it, and I'm sure you guys do it all the time probably.
We try.
Oh, God,
yeah,
that's what I want to do. Tarpon,
yeah, cool.
In a kayak on the fly, that would be the ultimate experience.
Good.
Well,
about,
you just need to make yourself available and come on down here, and there's a bunch of us that can get you out there and probably put that happen.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, we definitely got them. How about like a trip? I know, you know, I've been looking at some of your you know, different Facebook things and stuff, and you know, it looks like you've caught just about every species that can be caught. But as far as a dream, like a trip, somewhere that you haven't been that you'd like to go. You know, fly fishing, whatever. Anything lined up?
Honestly, I can't decide. There's so many, you know, so many places in the world that are just incredible. And, you know, having social media really showcases all the amazing places in the world to fish. So you guys make it pretty hard to decide because there's, you know, so many places I'd love to go. And I just feel like life isn't long enough to get to them all.
I gotta
say to your picture that you've got on your I know your I think your actual Facebook page was I know you put up something about how I think your friend list had capped, where you had to actually switch over to more of a different type of site on Facebook, where, you know, had to switch over to a different format and stuff like that. So that's awesome. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Quite
well,
the following.
Honestly, about that, Facebook is great, but that's the one thing about Facebook that ticks me off, because they make this limit of friends, and then people try and add me and then are offended that I won't add them because they think that I'm a snob or something like that. So I made the page in hopes of, you know, people going there and still being able to connect with me, which is working pretty good. And people post photos and stuff on the page, but that's the one downfall, because, you know, I love to connect with everyone, and, you know, I can't. So, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Facebook and pictures, I noticed you looks like you're quite the photographer as well. There was one in particular picture I saw that was really cool. It looks like it was, I believe it was your grandmother. You'd maybe taken carp fishing, and she was holding a just monster carp. What was that? Is that something you got her out and just took her fishing for the day, or it looks like you put, you know, a few pictures up about that. That was very cool.
Yeah, actually, I didn't take that photo, and the person that took the photo is listening, and his name is Matt, and he also kayaks like crazy, too. But, yeah, my grandma, I've been getting her out fishing because my grandpa's always, you know, he always wants to go out and fish, but I thought, you know, why not her, too, you know? So
right.
She came out, and she said she hasn't fished in since she was 15 years old, and she's 80.
Wow.
So I took her out fishing,
awesome.
And she caught the most fish, and she was so into it, and she loved it. So I thought, okay, from now on, she's coming too. So I've taken her out a few times. We just fish off the dock here where I, around where I live, and it's a great spot that people can fish. There's benches, a washroom, and everything that they would need. But we also tried some shore fishing the other night for carp, and we set up a campfire, and we sat in lawn chairs, and we were just sitting there talking. And I hadn't fished for carp in this spot before, so I didn't know if we'd catch one or not. So I casted out her line, and we're just sitting there waiting, and she's like, oh, I think I got a bite. And I thought, okay, well, I looked at her line because I wasn't sure it could have been a, you know, a small fish or something, and then it just took off. And I started screaming. I'm like, Grandma, you got one, you got one. And she's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. So she's reeling it in. It took her quite a while to get it in, and it was like 15 pounds. So it was so awesome. And she has not stopped talking about it.
Yeah, I saw what you said. Now she wants a bigger one or something like that.
She does. And she's always like, can you show me your Facebook? And then, she wants to see what people are saying because there's a lot of comments, and she likes reading them. So it's pretty cool.
Very cool.
That is pretty awesome. I remember I took my dad kayak fishing for the first time, and he caught his first redfish out of the kayak, actually his first redfish ever, but first redfish out of the kayak, and it spun him around in circles and was dragging him all over the flat, and it was awesome.
Wow.
And when we got back home, and he was telling my mom all about it or whatever, he just was glowing. He was so excited, and it was funny because a short time later, one of his pictures was featured on the front page of Florida Sportsman's website, FloridaSportsman.com. Yeah, and so I took like a screenshot of that, and then I showed it to him, and he like cracked up laughing. That was the coolest thing ever, to show him like all my mom and dad's friends and stuff like that, and telling my brothers all about how, you know, I made him a celebrity of sorts in the fishing world or whatever.
That's
and it was
so
just
cute.
Really, it was really cool, but. Yeah, that's awesome. So, listen, I hear you have a pretty crazy story about something that happened to you in your kayak.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. The craziest thing that's happened to me in my kayak so far, and if anyone is on my Facebook, they will have seen it. I was out by myself a few weeks ago, and these people went by in a boat, and this one guy mooned me. Like, I got mooned in my kayak, and I didn't even know what to do. Like, they waved, and then I saw him, like, starting to pull his pants down, so I just turned and looked away because I didn't want to give him the satisfaction of it. But, you know, he knew what he did. And I didn't know what to do, so I just, like, posted it on Facebook, and so many people thought it was so funny. At the time, I was pretty offended. I'm still kind of offended, but I think that's a pretty crazy story.
That is pretty crazy. I can say I've had a lot of things happen to me on the water and people's reactions and things like that. I can honestly tell you, in the 30-plus years of fishing I've done, I've never been mooned. So,
no, I honestly, I hope it's not like a reoccurring thing, or else I'm going to start bringing like a paintball gun or something.
I like it. Paintball gun. Paintball gun shooting.
I have good aim.
I believe you. You're Canadian. So outside of Fly Nation and Capture TV and the various other things that you got going on, what are some things that you're looking forward to doing or trying to do or trying to accomplish this year?
Outside of that, I do a bit of writing. I have a weekly fishing column in a local paper here. And
really?
I'm also writing for some other, you know, for tourism and some other people. So I actually enjoy writing, and I never thought it would be something that I got into, but I'm able to express myself well when I write. So, you know, I guess people like it. So, you know, I'm just going with it. And it's a lot of fun, especially writing for the paper. You know, you get you know, a certain age group's social media is huge, but then there's a lot of older people that aren't into it, so they still read the paper. And, you know, I get feedback from that, so it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Any plans on coming to the States for, say, like ICAST or the International Fly Show or any of that kind of thing?
Not at the moment. I'm really hoping to go to ICAST someday. I've never been to it, and I think it'd be a lot of fun and just something that would be really cool to see.
Yeah, ICAST is a blast. We're fortunate here on the Space Coast. We're only about 45 minutes from the venue that holds it in Orlando.
Oh, wow.
We only get ICAST once every 3 years, and then it's over in Vegas for the other 2 years before it comes back to us again. But it is a lot of fun, and for the fish enthusiasts such as yourself, myself, and Alan, and everyone who's listening to the show, it is like words can't even describe it. When you walk into the hall and you can't see the other end of the hall for all of the banners and all of the stuff that goes on, I mean, it's huge. It would literally take you to be able to walk through each booth and see everything. It'd probably take you a solid 2.5 days.
Wow.
Yeah, it's awesome. And this year, what's really cool about it is it's being combined with I can't remember if it's called the International Fly Fishing Supply Show or something like that. But it's another big, almost like an ICAST, but strictly fly fishing. So,
That's cool.
Yeah, sounds really cool. Now, we do have an event coming up in the near future, actually in October, and we'll throw out the invitation to you, and if you can't make it, we completely understand.
Okay.
But up in the panhandle of Florida, which is up towards like Alabama and such over the Gulf Coast, we have an event taking place called the Boondoggle.
Yeah, I remember you guys had that last year, too.
Yeah, we sure did.
Yeah.
And so the Boondoggle has grown now into this huge kind of a gathering of kayak fishermen and women and families and stuff.
Yeah.
And basically, it's like a pilgrimage of sorts. But we just did one in February. We had one here local to us at a place called Cars Park, which is on the shores of what's known as the no motor zone. Motorized vessels can get in it, but they buy canoes and that kind of thing. And, we had over 300 people show in California.
Wow, that's impressive.
So, so we're looking forward to this one being bigger and better. It's going to be at Perdido Key, which is about 10 miles away from Pensacola. Thanks, Chris Johnson, for the information there. What is the Boondoggle as non-pro staff Murdoch asked there in the chat room? Well, man, a boondoggle is pretty much the best time that you can have with all your clothes on.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, but no, feel free if you want to come down and join us. It's Columbus Day weekend. Is that what it is, Alan?
Yeah, Columbus Day weekend. Yeah, October 14th, 15th, somewhere around there, Thursday through Sunday.
And the kayak fishing there that time of year should be pretty awesome. Redfish.
What kind of fish are you catching then?
It'll be kind of broken up into two different groups. I think there's going to be some folks who are going to try and get out and find some bottom fish like groupers and snappers and trigger fish and things like that. And then there may be some guys venturing out a little bit further looking for some bigger offshore species. And then you'll have flounder, redfish, speckled sea trout. I don't know. Are there tarpon up there that time of year? I'm hoping that our buddy Andrew Nixon there in the chat room, Uno Moss, he says
somebody
no
called it the Moondoggle. I sure hope not.
Yeah, they're just.
I shouldn't have said
earlier,
that now.
Nah, it's cool. That's what I was saying earlier about the chat room. Is sometimes it could be a little distracting and sometimes it gets a little crazy. But
yeah,
the
I
Moondoggle.
Can see that.
Yeah, but no redfish, trout, flounder, like I say, groupers, snappers, triggers. So should be good.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So ladyfish. Great. Say what?
Ladyfish. Don't forget ladyfish.
Mm. Yeah, ladyfish for Steve McInerney. We'll make that happen. But so real quick though, I wanted to ask you something, and I can't remember what it was. There's something I wanted to ask you about Capture TV. Where can we see Capture TV?
You can see it on the World Fishing Network, and we will have some content online as well.
And now?
Pardon?
Is it airing? Is it like airing live now, or is it?
It will be airing in October, starting in October.
Perfect. See that? October. October is a great month. You can come down and you can party at the Boondoggle and celebrate the airing of your new show.
That would be great.
She's like, yeah, no, not after seeing Moondoggle. I'm not coming.
Not if it's a Moondoggle. Unless I have, like, a paintball gun, if you'll let me bring that across the border. I don't know.
Well, I'm sure you're talking to a bunch of southern rednecks. I'm pretty sure we got paintball guns that we could probably supply you with. But,
okay, good.
Yeah, or high-powered pellet guns is even more fun.
There we go.
There you go. So, do you have a, and this is getting back on topic now,
okay,
instead of Moondoggles, you have a favorite lure that you like to throw for muskie? Because now that I've watched the video of you catching a muskie out of your kayak standing up in the outback probably 100 times in my kayak shop. What is your favorite? By the way, thank you for that, because it is a huge selling point to sell ladies into kayak fishing, especially buying Hobies. Yeah, absolutely. Because when you put a video on of a lady who's standing up in a kayak catching this giant muskie, pretty much everybody feels that they can do it too. So,
well, I probably shouldn't tell you how scary it was then.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. It was. There's a couple of fish I fear, and muskie are one of them, but it's more of a rush to catch something you're afraid of. Like, it makes it, you know, makes your heart beat a little faster, so it's worth it.
That's killer. But, yeah, so what would be, if you had to pick, I'd say, if you had to pick one lure to throw for muskie, what would it be?
You know, believe it or not, I haven't done a lot of muskie fishing. That was, I haven't been on many muskie fishing trips. That one was caught on a storm thunder beast, like a bulldog style. I guess I'd say that one. I mean, I haven't done a lot of muskie fishing, so I haven't tried a lot of different lures, but that one worked well and made an amazing memory, so I'd probably go with that one.
Were you actually targeting muskie that day? Was that a muskie fishing trip, or was that a surprise kind of a bonus?
No, I was using muskie gear. I had a muskie rod, and I was throwing muskie lure too. And I went out, you know, on a lake that has muskie, bass, and walleye. And I targeted bass for a little bit, but then I came into a bay and I was like, I'm going to throw with this, you know, I'm going to try for a muskie now, get something bigger, hopefully. And then that happened. So it was amazing. And, you know, they're referred to as the fish of 10,000 casts. So I'm really fortunate to have caught that, and especially to have caught it on camera.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's pretty crazy. The video definitely plays within the loop of Hobie videos that we constantly play at the shop. So kudos on that. That was an amazing catch. And the fact that the fish swam off healthy and happy, and maybe not happy, but healthy, is definitely a testament of what good catch and release and fish handling can do for a species. So that's awesome. So if muskie isn't your most sought-after fish, what would you say would be your most sought-after game fish?
Being that I fish year-round and, you know, I enjoy all types of fishing, I don't have a favorite. And people ask me that all the time, and I just don't have one. You know, I just love to catch. There's so many species here, and I just love to catch them all. So, yeah, I guess that's it. Like, there's fish that I haven't caught that I really want to catch. And I think that brown trout are the most beautiful fish when they're, you know, in the fall when they're spawning. So, yeah, I don't have a favorite.
Amen to that. Brown trout's actually fairly high on my bucket list, just because they are so pretty, and I just need a photo with one. Just one.
Oh, yeah, they're amazing. And I, you know, I've been out with someone who's listening, and he spotted a brown trout, and we were just checking the river, and he hadn't caught one before, and I, like, ran to get my rod first. I'm like, sorry, I got to try for this, which is so bad. But there's some fish that you just got to, you know, got to have them. So I didn't catch that one, but I tried.
Have you done much saltwater or ever, I know being from where you're from, there's none up there, but.
No, I've been saltwater fishing. I won a trip to Tobago in 2009 through the World Fishing Network, and I got to go saltwater fishing then. So I caught a kingfish, some tuna, and a triggerfish, and that's the only saltwater fishing trip I've done.
Huh, okay.
And I really want to do more.
Well, you definitely need to try and make some time to make it down to Florida at some point. I know that there's a bunch of us here on the Space Coast that would love to take you out and try and get you on your first redfish, your first sea trout, maybe even that first tarpon. So
that would be
amazing. That would be a lot of fun. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, again, looking forward to this year, any big plans besides what you're already doing? I mean, it's not to say that you don't already have big plans. You got a TV show coming out in October. The blog is still incredibly popular. Anything new and exciting you kind of want to let out the bag, or got anything kind of cool in the works, any new sponsors or anything that just signed on with you?
At the moment, the show is taking up a lot of my efforts, and, you know, I'm putting everything I've got into it. I'm planning the shoots for the year, so I don't really have anything more at the moment that I can say, but, you know, the show is going to be what I'm focusing on, and that's been my ultimate dream for a long time, so, you know, I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, there you go. We got a guy in the chat room, a good friend, Andrew Mixon, says, you can do half a season of programming down here in a matter of a couple of weeks.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm really hoping to travel with my show. This year we're filming all in my region, which is great news for me because, you know, it's getting started, and it's nice to be able to film here, and I've lived here my whole life, so it's nice to be able to showcase the fishing opportunities here. But I'd also like to travel, and that's the ultimate goal.
Yeah, I would say that's probably about the most awesome thing that one can do as far as fishing is concerned, is being able to just travel around and just fish for as many species as humanly possible, like my good friend Patrick Seville does.
Yes.
So,
I've done a lot of traveling, but I've done a bit, and I'm hoping to do more, probably next year, if everything goes well.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. This is kind of an interesting point that was brought to us at the shop, at the kayak shop the other day. There seems to be a huge influx of lady kayak anglers. What do you think has sparked that? Do you think there's anything in particular? Is it just could it be the self-sufficientness of being able to go out and get in a boat, paddle off by yourself and make it happen? Or is it more about the nature side of things? Do you have any insight as to why you think that it may be taken off so big? I mean, literally, we have probably, our split between male and female customers at our store is probably 60-40, which is incredible. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm not sure. It's hard for me to really know because I've always fished, like, you know, since I was a kid, so fishing's always been something I've enjoyed. I think things like social media and television and things like that, where women can see other women doing it and seeing that, like you said, with the video, it's not intimidating and, you know, you don't have to be a tomboy to like fishing, things like that. You know, it's all over. And, you know, people that love fishing are happy to see women getting involved in the sport and seeing, you know, a new outlet. And, you know, I think it's a combination of things. I can't really say that it's anything in particular, but I think it's a combination of those things.
You know, I was going to say my wife, about 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago, I got into kayak fishing, actually borrowed a friend of mine's kayak to take her out. And, you know, she fished a little bit here and there, but the kayak is what really got her. I know Vicky mentioned it on here a little bit ago, that the independence part of it. And, you know, I showed her a few things, took her a couple times. She caught a couple fish. And then of course, she wanted her own kayak, so we got her a kayak. And you know, we go a lot together now, not as much as, you know, we'd like to with my daughter and stuff. But
yeah.
we get my daughter out, too. I've got a kayak that I can set up either as a solo or a tandem. So we'll go out. I'll put my wife in the boat with me. Jen will take her. My wife will take hers out, and I'll put my daughter in the boat with me. And
that's great.
And get her out there. She loves it. I think she's hooked. I think she's going to kind of stick with it, give us something to do with her. And my wife has just gotten to where she can pretty much do everything on her own. You know, I'm not there. I tend to get a little impatient trying to help her with some things. So she can just, she gets upset if I get a little frustrated. So the good thing is we're in separate boats. She can just paddle off and do her own thing and go at it. So, you know, the kayak's really given her a way to, you know, kind of teach herself and get out and do her thing. And, you know, she's gotten really good, so.
That's a great way to start.
Great.
And, you know, I've heard that it's difficult for couples to teach each other things. So, mm-hmm. you know, fishing is one of those things that is great to learn from an outside source or, like you said, have a way of being independent and, you know, having her own kayak. That's a great
right.
way to get her into it.
Yeah, it's given us something to do as a family, too, so. We have a ball.
I have a pretty funny story about fishing with my significant other.
Yeah?
So,
did you guys get mooned?
No, we didn't get mooned.
Okay, good.
I certainly did not
I
get mooned.
I fell out of mine.
Yeah, well, Alan does fall out of his quite a bit. No, I'm kidding.
I fall out of mine.
No, so I started dating my now wife some 10-plus years ago, and one of the first things that we did together, we went fishing. I took her fishing, and I took her flounder fishing, which to me, I know my nickname's Redfish Chuck or whatever, but flounder are really kind of like special to me because it was one of the first saltwater species of fish I ever learned to fish for when I was 3 or 4 years old. I mean, I was a little tiny kid going out fishing for flounder and stuff up in New York. And anyhow, big long story short, I took her fishing with me out to Port Canaveral, which is a local inlet here on the Space Coast. And she, and I'll admit it, she outfished me. In fact, not only did she outfish me, but she caught bigger flounder than I did. And I taught her, the technique that I use while fishing on the jetty. And she picked it right up, and she literally outfished me. And I went home. Not with my tail between my legs. I went home like I just won the lottery.
Aww.
And I walked inside and I told my dad, "Dad, you got to come outside. You got to see this cooler full of fish." And she found herself that day. I'll never forget it. But anyway,
that's great. She has
cool.
lady luck.
Yeah, I get,
that's
yeah,
what no, women she, have. We have lady luck. People always ask, you know. But you find, have you ever found, like, you hear stories about women who go out for the first time and, you know, they have great results?
Yeah, no.
That's
I
what
got
I
another
think.
Great story about her. We took her out in our offshore boat, and I'd been offshore fishing for a number of years and had, at this point, yet to catch a cobia. And, or a ling, as some people call them, but a cobia nonetheless. And we go out, first time ever out trolling. We're trolling now. We're not fishing for cobia. We're fishing for a king mackerel, for dolphin, for wahoo, whatever. And she proceeds to catch the first keeper cobia that went upon our boat at this particular time of the boat's life, and caught a cobia before I ever caught a cobia. The first time trolling. Caught a cobia. That's crazy.
I'm jealous for you.
I was really pretty jealous. In fact, I was actually a little angry, if you want to know the truth about it.
Ah.
I wanted to take the pull from her just kind of a little bit because I was kind of bummed, but at the same time, I was stoked for her. And but no, it's definitely pretty cool to watch folks to watch couples get into the sport, especially this sport, and just to see, not even couples, just to see ladies walk into a kayak store. And the crazy thing is, and not that it should really be crazy, but to me it's a little crazy, we have ladies that walk into our store that have never bought a kayak, have never been in a kayak, nothing, but they know everything that there is to know about every make and model, except for how they paddle in the water. They'll walk in and they have more answers than any guy has ever had about kayaks walking in the shop. So it's definitely cool to see the growth of the sport, not only in adult women, but even in younger ladies that come in and rent kayaks from us and stuff like that. So the health of the sport is definitely good.
Well, it's great. There's so much information available online. And people who kayak fish are so passionate about it, they want other people to do it. So it's not like, you know, all secretive like some styles of fishing. I mean, there are secrets, but for the most part, you know, everybody wants to get other people interested in it, and that's what's so great about it.
Yeah, in fact, our friend Vicky there in the chat room, she just said a quote that we use down here. You know, back in the day, if guys were standing around and they said, hey, you fish like a girl, it would almost be kind of a cut down in a way. But nowadays, when you tell somebody, hey, you fish like a girl, for us, for our little circle of friends, it's a compliment, because some of the girls that we fish with outfish most of us guys almost on a regular basis.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. What's that?
I said Vicky being one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a whole handful of ladies that show up at the boondoggles and that fish with us on a regular basis and stuff like that. And it's a lot of fun. It definitely adds the diversity to the day and to the banter as well. And it's I don't know, it's really cool. It's awesome. But to be able to be at the forefront of what's going on in this industry, as I feel that you are, kudos to you for doing it with such grace and not being, as you called what people sometimes think that you are, kind of snobby or whatever. You're not that at all. You've been extremely easy to work with as far as getting you on the show, and you know it's a pleasure and an honor to be able to have you on as a guest again.
Thank you very much. Now, are we out of time? Because I had a question for you guys.
No, go right ahead. We've got plenty of time. You got another hour.
Okay, so when you guys started kayak fishing, did you, I guess what I want to ask is how you started. Like, did you, you know, did someone introduce you, or did you just go and buy a kayak and start? That's my question.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and let Alan go first.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. actually, I had fished probably every type of boat out there. I had bass boats, flats boats, air boats, John boats, just everything.
Yeah.
Got to a point where I didn't have anything due to certain, you know, the D word. so wanting to get back into fishing, I had actually a guy that I worked with that kayak fished. And actually there was a girl that I worked with that, you know, they fished together a lot. They both kind of got me into it, let me borrow a boat. I went a couple times. It was different. Took some getting used to. It's a different way of fishing, I guess, trying to get used to, you know, either sitting down, standing up, whatever. The first kayak I got, I could not stand up in. But eventually bought my own, went on Craigslist, found a used boat, bought it. And I would say since I've gone to the kayak, I've probably improved my fishing tenfold. You know, I'm able to get a lot shallower, you know, sneak up on fish, and I've never looked back. I mean, that's the way, you know, I have no real desire to own any other type of boat now. I'm just so hooked on the kayak fishing, and, you know, again, it's a way that, you know, my family, you know, now my wife, my daughter, you know, we can all get out. So I guess you could say I was introduced to it by a couple friends, and, you know, it just kind of took off, and I just, you know, really got into it. And, you know, I've got a couple different kayaks now, actually, you know, on the Jackson kayak fishing team, and
nice.
Chuck's helped me immensely. He's taught me a lot, showed me a lot. So, Chuck has been very instrumental in where I've gotten with the kayak fishing and stuff. So, you know, it's a passion now. So
that's great.
That's basically my story. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what about Chuck?
Yeah. Well, my story is it's pretty simple. I grew up fishing.
Chuck, I got to go on. I'm sorry. I got to go on mute real quick. I got a work call. Be right back.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Okay.
Don't worry. Do your thing. I grew up fishing. I mean, I've been fishing since I was probably 2 years old. I'll be 34 this year, unfortunately. Is that what it is? How old are you? 34? I've been fishing for quite a long time. And when I lived in New York, we always had boats. I moved down here to Florida when I was knee-high to a grasshopper, maybe 9 years old or so. And then we lived on a pond. I did a lot of freshwater fishing. And then we moved to a community down here called Vieira, and there's a ton of lakes there. But once we moved there, I got a canoe, and that was my first paddle craft. So I was probably about 12 when I got that. And I learned to love to fish from the canoe because I could sneak up on the bass while they're on the bed and everything else, and I knew how stealthy it was and everything else. And every now and again, we'd convince one of our friend's parents to come pick up the canoe in their truck and take us down to the river and let us fish salt water and the whole thing. So
cool.
I kind of grew up fishing out of paddle craft, if you will. And then my first true kayak was a heritage redfish, probably, I don't know, it was a while ago. But, I fell in love with it all over again. I've owned boats. I've owned bay boats. I've owned an offshore boat, and it's the boating side of it's really fun, but there's nothing to me like the closeness you get to not only just nature, but to your target, your game fish species of your choice, like you do out of a kayak. I mean,
yeah,
there's
I
something
agree.
To be said for being able to sneak up on a redfish and literally pinch them on their tail without them knowing that you're there.
That's crazy.
Really cool feeling. Yeah, so, for me, getting involved in this sport, I always knew from the time that I was a little kid that I wanted to be involved in the fishing world some form or fashion. In fact, I'll tell a story that will probably come back to haunt me and embarrass me down the road. But when I was little, fishing the lakes and ponds in our neighborhood, I literally used to talk to myself like I was on a TV show, like Bassmasters. I was like 12 years old, and I'd walk around and say, Chuck Levi only needs 4 more pounds of bass to take the Bassmaster Classic or whatever. And, it was so funny because I'd walk over and I knew where like these big bass would hang out, and I cast over and boom, hook up like a 6-pounder and land it and like pump my fist. And Mike Iaconelli wasn't even a celebrity back then, but do a whole like hooting and hollering thing, and the neighbors thought I was nuts. All my friends thought I was crazy, but yeah. I mean, that's kind of how it started for me. I mean, just off a little dream, and then I got a couple opportunities, as you have, to be able to do some writing, and got to do my first fishing seminar when I was 22. I did a seminar for 24. I did a seminar for a sportsman at one of their boat shows, and then just kind of progressed. Chip Gibson gave me an opportunity to host my own show here on Kayak Fishing Radio, and I joined a couple different pro staffs along the way, and my most recent move, as you know, is now with Hobie.
Congratulations.
Thanks. I'm proud to say I'm a regional team member for Hobie. And,
it's a great
team. It's, without a doubt, it is the best. It's the best kayak company that I have ever been a part of. They definitely look out for you and do some amazing things for you for sure. So, but I feel like I've just been really, really blessed to be in a position to be able to not only, as my pastime do what I love to do, but share my love for the sport with my listeners and my friends and everything else and help them along the way, to get to their goals and stuff. But now also to be to the point to where not only do I sell kayaks, but I'm about to open up an outfitter store. So, here in Titusville area. And it's really cool. It's been a long road. I mean, as you know, there's a lot of struggles. There's a lot of disappointments that come within this industry at times. And, I've always been a believer in karma and, you know, and passion. And if you got passion for something and you refuse to give up and you refuse to listen to the doubters and the haters of the world, because there's a ton of them, then you can pursue your dreams. And, you know, I think it's awesome that, you know, everything kind of comes around full circle.
It
does. But, like, how did you, now, I know you come from a fishing family, right? You guys used to fish all the time when you were kids, going to lodges and stuff, right?
Actually, no. My parents don't fish at all. But they took us back to a friend's lodge every summer, and their friend would take my brother and I fishing. Now my brother doesn't fish now. He's in a band. He plays the drums, so that's what he's crazy passionate about. But we still fish together every year. But I've been fishing since I was 5, is when I started, and I fished throughout my life. I've actually been kayak fishing for just 2 years, so I haven't been doing it that long. I watched different videos online, and, you know, I had fished from a canoe a bunch of times and got stuck out in the wind by myself and, you know, didn't like it. So I was looking around online, and, you know, people were posting about kayak fishing on Facebook, and I started doing some research, and I watched a video of somebody catching a marlin in a kayak, and I was like, okay, I need to do that. I need to go kayak fishing. So I looked around at kayaks. I didn't really like to paddle, so I found out about the Hobie, and I saved up for a Hobie, and then that was my first kayak, and I couldn't be happier.
Awesome. Yeah, and that's just what it's all about. It's just finding what suits you and whatever drives you as far as this passion or this lifestyle that we call fishing. We all call it the kayak fishing lifestyle because it really is. One of our favorite things to do, my wife and I, when I'm not going fishing, or there'll be a day where I want to go fishing, but I would almost much rather just even take the kayaks to one of the islands in the intercoastal and just have like a picnic / a little party with our friends and stuff like that on the islands, and not even bring a fishing pole, just because it's relaxing.
Yeah, I'll bring one. Come on.
I don't. I promise.
Oh, really?
Okay. I didn't even bring one, did I? I had to borrow Chris's. Actually, yeah. I had to borrow my buddy Chris Flores's rod that had a broken tip top on it.
And
sometimes we go and we don't even bring a pole. But it's rare for me.
Cool.
But, yeah, sometimes. But awesome. So if anybody wants to follow your blog, again, it's kind of give us all your information. They want to follow the blog. They want to watch the show. How do they watch the show? Where do they go to follow your blog, maybe?
Everything is really easy to find. Just go to my website, shelovestofish.com. It's pretty easy to remember. And I have all my social media, and, you know, I've been blogging there since 2009, so I have everything on there since then, and videos and all kinds of things. So you can find it through there.
Excellent. And as always, Ashley, I greatly appreciate you coming on, being a guest here on the show, and please understand you're welcome back anytime you have anything going on that you want to discuss or anything you got going that you want to talk about. Feel free to shoot me a little message there or whatever, and we'll get you on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I have to say that your show is the most fun because I'm sitting here, I'm listening to you, but I'm also reading what people are saying, and it's pretty cool to see how many people are tuned in and interacting with you guys. So I really appreciate you having me on the show again.
Absolutely. And what's really cool about the way we have this all set up, not only do we have the chat room, but I don't know if you knew this, we have an app. So
nice.
You can download the app for either iTunes or Google products. It's free. Fishing Radio.
Great.
Yeah. So a large number of our listening base comes from the app. So what you see in the chat room as far as numbers and stuff, it's pretty deceiving because when we go back and look at the reports and things, the growth that we've even experienced here at Kayak Fishing Radio has been crazy. And so I'm sure that this is going to go down as probably one of my best shows that I've ever been able to do, and I appreciate that because, you know, it's a reflection of your followers as well. I mean, you've got friends, like you just said, your buddy who takes pictures for you and stuff is listening to our show tonight as well. So hopefully we've turned him on to being a rather regular customer, or not customer, but a regular rather listener of Kayak Fishing Radio.
Well, I'm sure you will now that he's heard that you have an app, and I didn't know this either, so that's great to know.
Yeah, I always got to throw in the shameless plugs whenever I can do that. And Chip Chip Gibson just sent me a message who started Kayak Fishing Radio saying, invite her to the Boondoggle. Well, you're a little late, buddy. I already did that. So,
well, I would love to. It all depends on what life is, what's happening in my life at that time. But we'll see. I'd love to go. I mean, I've been to one kayak fishing event, and it was the Hobie Worlds last year, and it was the most incredible thing. Just being around so many people that are passionate about kayak fishing. So definitely I'd like to do more things like that and meet more people. So hopefully I can make it.
Yeah, I'm hoping to one day get picked for that as well. I would prefer to go to Australia if possible.
Oh, my gosh, I know.
Yeah,
I'm like,
can you imagine?
I haven't thought about it. I've had dreams about it. Like, I dream about things very vividly, especially fishing, and I've had dreams about that and tarpon and, you know, all kinds of things. So hopefully I can make those dreams come true.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will. Just keep up.
But
the
I'd really
enthusiasm.
Like to... Sorry.
What
I'd really
think?
Like to come to the Boondoggle. That'd be fun.
Well, like I say, you have an open invitation.
You're cool.
On board. Come on down. And...
Or just the fish.
Yeah, that'd be
What's
great,
that?
Too. Either way.
I was going to say,
absolutely.
Or just a fish. Casual fishing, there's a few people that have said they'd be more than happy to help out getting you on tarpon, redfish, whatever. So
those are
a lot of open invites.
Redfish and tarpon, those are at the top of my list right now.
Yeah, we're in the area for it, for sure.
Awesome. Someone said they'll scrounge up a kayak for me. That's great. Although I'd probably just drive, depending how far it is.
That's funny.
It'd probably be a good two-day drive, I would imagine, from where you're at.
That would be a fun road trip, though, and, you know, maybe stop and fish with some people along the way. I've always wanted to do something like that.
There is a ton of Hobie teammates.
Yes. Well, actually, one of someone I met from Hobie Worlds last year is coming to Canada this month, and they're from France. So a guy and his wife, they're flying down here, and we're going to be fishing naturally, and I think that's pretty cool. It's coming all the way here.
That's awesome. And I see one of our friends in the chat room says, I hear there's rentals at Kayaks by Bev. Listen, I assure you, if Ashley makes her way down to Florida, she will not have to rent a kayak. We will have a Hobie sitting here waiting for her. I'll kick her out of Chris's boat so she can use a crawler anywhere if she wants.
That's awesome.
Listen, awesome, cool. We're at the top of our hour. It's been a great show. I think we can continue for probably another hour. You're always a great guest, and I appreciate you coming on as always. And like I say, guys, do me a favor who are listening here to the show. Follow her blog. I mean, I'm telling you, she's a great writer. She's got a lot of cool things going on. Check out the videos on her website. I did that today. I watched the full video and also watched the Capture TV ice fishing extravaganza, which looked pretty darn cold for us Floridians. So,
well, the next one is going to be kayak fishing, so I can't wait for that. It's the most exciting thing when we're filming. There's nothing I'm more excited to do, so I can't wait to do kayak fishing and have the guys put that together because they do such an amazing job. So hopefully you'll like that one too.
Absolutely. The cinematography that's been done on both of those shows so far has been incredible, absolutely awesome. So, but thanks again. I appreciate it so much for being here. And if anybody has any comments, questions, concerns for you, they can hit you up on Facebook and or your website, sheloveshtofish.com.
Yeah, and I answer every single person. So, you know, I'll take the time to write back, and I look forward to hearing from anyone. And thank you so much for having me on the show again. I look forward to talking with you guys again.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah,
do you want to plug any of your sponsors real quick?
Sure. So my sponsors I have are Alumacraft, Hobie, Rapala, Mustang Survival, Linja Injections, and Exome Lures and Lures and Tours. And if you read my blog, you'll see, you know, just how I work with each company and how it came to be. And I'm not, you know, I'm not out there to get sponsors. I love fishing and I use different products. And all of the products here are, you know, all the sponsors here are a result of me being passionate about their products and then forming a relationship with them. So that's how it happened.
It's what it's supposed to be about, by the way.
Yeah, like I'm not, you know, I'm not out there to be, you know, a billboard. I just, you know, there's things that I love to use and naturally promote them, and that's how things came to be. So it's awesome. It's great to have the support.
Very cool. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, thank you so much again. And guys, don't forget, she said that her show, the Captured TV, is that what the actual full title is, Captured TV?
It's called Captured, and we put Captured TV on the Facebook page just so people know that it's a TV show and it's on
TV.
And before I go, someone just asked a really good question on the chat. Do I have time to answer
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
The question was, do you struggle with the Alumacraft versus Hobie? Do kayak anglers freak out because you're not pure? So my thoughts on that are, you know, I love fishing, so I love to take other people fishing, and, you know, I can't get some people in a kayak like my 80-year-old grandparents or young children, and having a boat is, you know, the best way for me to be able to take them out fishing. So that's, you know, that's it. That's why I, you know, have a boat, and that's why I love taking people out in my boat. But kayak fishing is something I'm passionate about, and I'm always going to do both. A lot of people have said, oh, you have a boat now, so you're going to get rid of the kayak, right? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to get rid of the kayak, because kayak fishing is awesome. Why would I want to stop?
Good point, good point. And it's funny, because there has been kind of a an interesting topic that goes around in different forums about the purists that are true, like I guess they call themselves true kayak anglers. They don't fish from anything else but a kayak. And to those people, I say, you know what? Be a little bit more well-rounded and get out there in a boat every now and again. It's good for the soul to go 60 miles an hour across the water.
Yeah, and you know, I've never been a person that has the need for speed, but it's kind of hard to get out there in a boat and not want to go fast. And it's like you said earlier in the show, being like fishing from a kayak makes you a better angler because, you know, for me, I'm dissecting areas instead of just dipping all around the lake because you can't do that in a kayak. So, you know, it makes you a better angler to be, you know, fishing in a kayak and figuring out where you have time to go. But fishing in a boat, it's great for, you know, speeding around fast and taking other people out. And, you know, I'm also going to use it as a great way to pre-fish areas, like, you know, because, you know, I might find an area where there's a species that are on and then I can get back there in my kayak. It'll save me some work. So I'm sure people might not like to hear that, but you got to do what you got to do and maximize your time on the water.
Wow. Well said. Well said indeed. Like I said, this show seems like it could just keep going on and on all night because it's flowing well. Anybody else there in the chat room have any questions for Ashley? You know,
yeah, I don't mind.
You know what? Yeah, we've gotta go, guys. We're cool. All right, later, Alan.
Yeah. Hey, I don't mean to cut you off, but I got something going on at work and I'm on call, so I gotta split. But Ashley, thank you very much.
Thank
congratulations
you.
Again on
you.
All your success. Not a problem. And thank you again, and hopefully you can get back on soon and maybe get down here sometime.
I definitely will try. I will definitely be back on the show, and I'll try my hardest to get
cool.
down there.
All right. Very good. Well, Chuck, my friend, I've got to go. Sorry to bug out early, but
I've
got to go do the work thing. All right. Okay.
All right.
Ashley, thanks again. Take care. Good luck.
Thank you.
And thanks, everybody else in the chat room, and I'll talk to you later.
See you, buddy.
Bye.
All right.
Someone asked if I'm married. No, I'm not married.
There you go. There you go. For somebody, there's hope.
I'm not looking to get married, so don't. No, there's no hope.
There's no hope. So, guys, real quick, if you have any legitimate questions that you'd like to ask Ashley, you can either type them there in the chat room. We'll cover them real quick. Or feel free to call in if you want to speak.
Someone said, married to fishing. That is a good answer, and I'm going to keep that from now on when people ask me if I'm married. Yes, I'm married to fishing.
There you go.
I need a big, shiny ring, though.
Big, shiny fish ring or something.
Yeah.
Yes, the call-in, if you want to call in, is 714-816-4727. I should have gave that out earlier in the show, but I didn't anticipate us going for so long, and it's been such a great show. So, yeah, if you guys want to call in, have any other questions that are legitimate questions on a serious note that have nothing to do with mooning or her relationship status, feel free to call us, 714-816-4727. So, I don't know what else is going on. You know what? Alan's gone. Alan's on with my co-host. You get to take over the co-host spot now. What else would you like to talk about?
Cool. Okay, I'm going to ask something for everyone in the chat room. Now, let me think. I love doing, I love social media and asking questions that get people, you know, fired up. So, I'm going to say, what is your dream fish? And I know I talked about mine earlier, it was a tarpon, but I'm going to ask the people in the chat room, what is their dream fish? And if they've caught it already. But, you know, I think a dream fish maybe is something that you haven't caught yet.
Yeah. But somebody just asked you too, what's your personal best catch? Would it be the muskie?
Well, that's a good question. It depends. I mean, if it's the weight of the fish, it'd probably be a carp. And if it's, you know, the memory, probably the biggest fish would be a carp. And, you know, a lot of people I've noticed don't like carp. Do you guys have carp? Is that might be a crazy question.
I don't know. We do have carp.
And what are your thoughts? Do you like them?
I love carp.
Okay, good. Because I can post a photo of a huge carp, and a lot of people hate them because they're garbage fish, apparently. But my opinion is that they're huge, and they fight like crazy, so why wouldn't you want to catch one?
Yeah, I got a good friend of mine, and that's one of his favorite fish to target. In fact, I forget where he lives. I think he lives in, Tennessee, but they have a ton of carp in Tennessee apparently, and that's his favorite thing to chase. He does it on the fly.
Wow, that's cool. I haven't caught them fly fishing yet, but I want to, and I'm hoping that I do that this year. And I'd like to catch them in my kayak too, because mostly I've just been shore fishing for them. You know, I found an area this year where we could spot them and just sit there and fish for them. It was a lot of fun. Someone asked what my personal favorite catch is, and I'd have to say brown trout. I think they're the most beautiful, you know, it's the most beautiful fish I've ever caught. And I've only seen, like, you know, a handful of them in my life, and they're like a unicorn to me. I've caught one. Like, I've caught one. It was a giant. Yeah, and it was on the fly. And
I saw that.
It just, that fish, like,
that was an awesome fish.
Haunts me in a good way. It's awesome. And I've seen them. The last one I saw, I was salmon fishing in the fall. And I said to the person I was fishing with, I was like, oh, I see a brown over there. And there's a guy fishing beside me. He casts over my line and snags into the brown. I was so offended. Like, you know, I don't know if he meant to do it or what, but that brown was right in front of me, and the guy just cast it over and hooked it and spooked it out of there. He didn't land it, but, terrible.
Well, let's see. So you asked the question, what are some of your dream fish? And we've had kind of a cool response. We've had, bonefish, barramundi.
Yeah.
Three species of marlin out of the kayak.
Oh, that's cool.
Tarpon, halibut, 100-pounder. So you've had quite a variety there, for sure.
I like how someone said carpoon. I always say, when I'm going carp fishing, I call them carpin, because I'm, you know, they're crazy, they're wild, and I kind of like to think I'm catching a tarpon because I'm fishing the flats for them, so that's funny.
That's pretty funny. Let's see, what else? Someone's talking about you catching huge brown trout in Tennessee.
Marlin, that's another amazing fish I'd love to catch.
I had an opportunity, not out of a kayak, I had an opportunity to catch two different species of marlin in one day.
Oh, wow.
And I had a, we were out tuna fishing out of Port Canaveral. We're about 115 miles outside of Port Canaveral on the other side of the Gulf Stream. We were closer to the Bahamas than we were to Port Canaveral. And we're trolling along, and in behind the boat swims a big blue marlin. And I'm just about ready to pitch a bait to it. And my buddy kind of looks at me and is like, really? You're going to mess with that on that 50 wide? You think that's going to happen? And I'm like, dude, are you kidding me right now? Like, it's a blue marlin. It's right there behind the boat. I can see him as clear as day. I want to pitch this bait to him. And I pitched the bait back and made one swat at it and turned and left. And that was that. About 45 minutes later, a white marlin comes into the spread and eats a bait. And I had him hooked up, line tight, reel screaming. He was going through the air like crazy. And about 2 minutes into the fight, he comes out of the water in a series of greyhounds and then gets it on the hook. So that's my marlin story. I've caught sailfish, but I've never landed an actual marlin species.
Wow. Now, I just see a question here. How is your relationship with the crew who shoots pics with you? It's great to have someone with you, yes. Now, I'm not sure if they mean filming the show or the photos that I post online. Maybe they could clarify. Both. Okay, so on the guys who shoot the show are all anglers, so, I mean, it's a perfect match. They know, you know, they know what it's like to fish, and I think that's really important because, you know, especially with the show Fly Nation, when they're filming fly fishing, just to have the passion for fly fishing, that is what makes the show so amazing because they capture the things about fly fishing that people who fly fish love, right? And
absolutely.
They don't do a lot of conventional fishing, but they, you know, they're passionate about fishing. So, you know, same kind of thing there. And as for people that shoot photos, I don't have like a photographer that follows me around. I have friends who take the photos and, you know, we're out on the water so often that we're always taking photos for each other. So, you know, those are friends who take the photos. And they do a great job.
Yeah. Let's see what else we got going on here.
Thank you. I just got a compliment. I do actually enjoy photography myself. Someone said you take some mean photos yourself. I love taking photos, and I take a lot of photos that aren't anything to do with fishing. I go out and, you know, I just enjoy photography and wildlife and stuff like that. And lately I've been providing photos to the Land O'Lakes. It's a tourism organization where I live here. And I've been giving them photos to post on their Facebook page because I have so many anglers on mine, and a lot of people, you know, some don't really care too much about a photo of a frog or a turtle or something. So I just said, you know what, you guys can use these photos because, you know, I'm posting them and, you know, I think I just like posting fishing stuff more. So it's, some of them can be seen there.
Here's a good question for you.
How do you promote educating the youth in your area? What certain things do you do for youth activities? Now, luckily, where I live, there's so many different youth kids fishing events around, and I try to get involved with as many of them as I can. So that's one way I get involved. And I, you know, every year I take kids out fishing, And usually it's kids that their parents don't fish, so I'm teaching their kids how to fish, and they're there as well, so I'm, you know, teaching them how to fish too. And I think that's important because without that, I wouldn't even be here because my parents took the time to take my brother and I to a friend's lodge to go fishing. And that's why I love it so much. So I think it's really important to introduce people, and not only kids, you know, adults as well and older people, because, you know, I've seen how much joy it brings my grandparents to go fishing, and, you know, they're always up for it. So I think it's important to, you know, just get anyone you can. And one thing that I've thought about a lot is everyone's really eager to take children fishing, but I think that people should also take the time to take teenagers fishing because, you know, that's an age where you can get into trouble and you can, you know, get some bad habits, but, you know, giving them something to do like fishing would be a great, you know, thing to get involved in and a great way to spend your time, and it's affordable, so.
What's funny is we do see a lot of guys who are a little bit older just now getting into it for the first time. I think Ed, who's there in the chat room from Hellbrand Leatherworks, is one of the guys who is that person. I mean, he just recently got started in fishing, like, truly, like, as far as a kayak fisherman's concerned, and taken off. Now the guy is, like, making custom leather vertical jig pouches and stuff on his own because he's, like, so ate up with it, which is really cool.
Well, that's great. And, you know, I posted the photos of my grandmother, and people were saying, like, one person said, it's amazing that it doesn't matter how old you are, you can fish, right? And there's not many sports that are like that. There's not many sports where you can be 80 years old and go fishing, and do them. So fishing is, you know, something that you can do at any age, and, you know, you can take it up at any age, and there's so much, we're so lucky to have so much information available online now that you can learn, you know, you can learn how to do it and get obsessed with it. Now, someone said, fishing is affordable? Now, yeah, that's a good question because I guess it depends on how much you can, you know, keep yourself from spending, but with basic stuff, you can get out there and fish, but everyone, you know, you never have enough stuff.
Well, here's a question I didn't even ask you earlier, I meant to. I know that you like to fish for salmon.
Yeah, I do a bit of salmon fishing.
Okay. Now, do you guys have the same problems with the salmon as other areas like Alaska and Maine and stuff like that, where the dams on the waterways have kind of messed up the traditional spawning runs? Do you get any ocean fish where you're at?
Sorry, do we get any?
Do you get any ocean run fish? Like, do you get any ocean run steelhead or anything? Or are all the salmon that you typically fish for, are they mostly landlocked?
Well, our fish are from Lake Ontario, so they're from a Great Lake. So, you know, there's that debate of steelhead are from the ocean, you know, but, you know, our fish are still migratory, so it's the same, you know, it's the same kind of situation there.
And that's really interesting, I think. Being in the fly fishing circle, it's funny to hear. I don't think that there's a more passionate group of fly fishermen than steelheaders.
I agree, and
it's interesting to hear the banter and the bickering between those that fish landlocked fish and those that fish the ocean run fish. And, you know, it's not a real steelhead unless it, you know, touches salt water and this, that, and the other. And listen, if I ever make it to the Great Lakes and catch a steelhead, I don't care if it's ever seen salt water, it's still a steelhead to me.
I call it a steelhead because by definition it's a migratory fish, and the fish I'm fishing for are migratory, so, you know, maybe they're not salt water, but I don't really care. they are what they are. I've actually never fished for landlocked trout, so
really?
I'd have to try that out and see what the battle is like, but there's nothing like a trout.
now you're getting inundated with questions upon where you have fished, if you fished in different locations. Do you see that?
Yeah, I see. Ever fished Elephant Lake? No. Lake of the Woods? No. I just won a prize pack. Sweet. what else here? Elephant Lake is north of Toronto. No, I haven't fished there yet. That's good to know. There's so many places to fish. It's, you know, I can't fish them all. I'd love to.
You guys are spoiled, too, having walleye. I had a buddy of mine who I became friends with through one of our local kayak shops that since was closed. And he was from out in the west somewhere. I can't remember exactly where. I think he was from Montana or something like that. But the guy literally traveled all around the entire country and fished in all different areas. Out of kayak and a boat and whatever. And every time he come down to Florida in the wintertime, he'd always bring some walleye fillets with him. And I would do my best to trade him just about any other fish fillets for walleye fillets. And he would cook them. I used to, it was Coco Kayaks, the guy's name who owned it was Dale. And we used to go to his shop and we'd just sit there and talk for hours. And the guy had a small camper and he'd go out and he'd pick up some walleye and come back inside. And it was just, it was awesome. I mean, awesome. Like, I don't know. For those of you that never had it, it's pretty awesome.
It's good. I don't actually, I don't keep a lot of fish. You know, a few times a year I keep fish, and walleye are so good, but I mostly release fish. And, you know, I just fish a lot, and I just enjoy catch and release. But walleye are really, really good, especially in the winter when it's freezing cold and you're on the ice, and, you know, you can have some walleye afterwards. That's good.
Yeah, I do. You guys know I don't keep a lot of fish, but I will tell you, there's one species of fish that when I catch him, if he is legal size, typically he does not get to eat in the water, and that's a flounder, just because it's one of my favorite fish to eat. I love flounders. So, what else do you got going on? People think you're nuts. It's ridiculous. That's awesome. I believe in CPR.
Yeah. Any more questions?
Yeah, any more questions, anybody? Pop up, make it snappy. Let's look at the clock real quick and see how much time we have left here. Because I'm not really sure where we're running out on time. Well, we've got 26 minutes.
All right, any questions before?
Yeah, hang on, I think I got a caller here.
Oh, cool.
In fact, Fish Radio.
Hey! Hey, this is Captain Al.
Hey, Captain Al.
Hey,
you
sound cute.
Oh, thanks.
Yep, Captain L's gone.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Every now and again you get one that's just I'm going to call it just to, you know, be obnoxious. So.
Well, at least you didn't swear. That'd be awkward.
They do. Every now and again we get one of them. Sorry about that, Captain L, but if the first thing out of your mouth is you sound cute, we're not going to let you participate on the show. So, let's see. What else? Ever caught a peacock bass?
That's another fish I'd love to catch. I see one here. How do you change your content for a newspaper versus online? That's a good question. But I'm not really sure what they mean by that. So maybe they could clarify a little bit.
Let's see.
Oh, here, the demographics are entirely different. Well, actually, the newspaper that I write for is local, and it says you have users, or you have younger. Yeah, okay, so they're just talking about the age group with the newspaper. I don't know. I just write from the heart. I mean, I talk about the adventures I have and, you know, what it means to me and how fun it is and how I love it. And I just, you know, I just be myself. And when I had the meeting with the newspaper company, I said, what do you want me to write? Like, you know, I don't I don't know, like, do you want it to be educational or, you know, what would you like? And he said, well, I'd just like you to be yourself and just write about your adventures the way that you already do. And that's what we want. So that's how I go with it. And now someone is making fun of the way I say about. And I don't think it's that weird. That's a good question. Is there any questions people would like to ask about Canada? Because there's some ridiculous stereotypes out there.
Stereotypes about Canadians.
Yeah.
Do you guys all fist fight and watch hockey and drink beer?
No. There's a lot of us who like fishing, and, you know, beer is pretty good, but I don't drink a lot of beer. I don't like being hungover, so I'd rather spend my time fishing and not being hungover. And hockey is fun. I like watching hockey during the playoffs, and I like watching hockey because I think that Sidney Crosby is dreamy, but, you know, I don't really watch a whole lot of TV. I love seeing the passion that people have for hockey and, you know, how it brings people together and just the craziness of it. And I've been to one NHL game, and I'd like to go to more. And now someone asked about NASCAR, and my answer could offend people. I think that NASCAR is, I don't understand it because it's, you know, watching cars drive in circles. I mean, it must be fun in person. And when I was younger, we used to go watch races. But I don't know. I just can't get into it on TV. I always think that you should just tune in at the end to see who won. But I guess that's not really the fun of it.
Yeah. We have another caller on the line, and this is Andrew Nixon.
All right. Hello,
hey,
Andrew.
Guys. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I'm all right. Hey, Ashley, I asked this question in the chat, but you didn't get to it. I just wanted to ask again.
Sure.
If you could only fish for one species of fish for the rest of your life, what species would you chase? I know you said you like the carp, you know, for their fight and all that, but what if there was only one fish that you could fish for? What would it be?
That's a good question. I honestly will have to think about that. That's a really good question. And, you know, I think I would choose a fish, something like a muskie that's not easy, something that the reward, you know, when you do catch one, the reward pays off. I think I would choose something like that because, you know, although it would be really hard and you'd go days without seeing a fish, when you finally catch one, it'd be worth it. So I think that's my answer.
Oh, that's good. That's
great,
the challenge.
Question.
That's the challenge instead of the fish. That's awesome. I like that.
Yeah. Now, what's your
you know
answer
what?
To that?
You know what? Since Andrew called in with a legitimate question, I'm going to make Andrew this week at this Monday night's winner of a Slayer Inc. prize pack.
Cool.
All right.
You're a winner now. That's
I'm
great.
Winner.
You're a winner now.
I mean that in a nice way.
Very cool. Andrew, just send me your contact information on Facebook for that.
Nice. Is he gone?
We're not quite out of time. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
I'm just gonna hang on until Chuck gets rid of me. I'm still here.
Well, what would be your answer to that question that you asked?
Everybody knows I'm a trout fisherman. I love to chase our speckled sea trout. So it would undoubtedly be the speckled sea trout. I like to catch them. I also like to chase the big ones. But really, more than anything, it's because you can catch them on a fly. You can catch them on live bait. You can catch them on top water. You can catch them on plug, soft plastic. You know, just about any way you can imagine to fish, you can fish for the trout. So that's by far my favorite.
That's cool. What about you, Chuck?
If I had to choose one species of fish to fish for the rest of my life, it would without a doubt be a redfish.
Redfish.
Because I like redfish for a number of different reasons. A, they're beautiful. They can be very aggressive. They could be not so aggressive. They can have lockjaw. They can be very temperamental. They can be spooky. You can, again, as Andrew said, you can catch them on fly. You can catch them on top water. You can catch them on any number of ways of doing it. I personally like catching big reds in the wintertime. I'm not a big red, large red fish fisherman, just out of the styling of fishing that I like to do. I prefer sight fishing, light line, light tackle, light fly, all that stuff. So I don't really get a lot of opportunities to get giants on those types of things. But, yeah, redfish would definitely probably be it.
That's cool. I've never caught one. But I don't know, did you notice my Facebook the other day where I was talking about having dreams about fish? I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
You did? Yeah. Well, I'll mention it again. I had a dream that I was catching redfish on topwater, and it was so vivid, and I don't even know a lot about them. So I woke up and I went on Facebook and I posted that I had a dream of catching redfish on topwater, and then I said, do they even hit topwater? Because I hadn't seen that before. And then I got a huge response talking about, all the different styles of fishing that people are catching them on, and different lures for topwater, and that just got me even more excited.
The funniest thing about a redfish and a topwater plug, without a doubt, is watching them try to eat it. Because you have two different kinds of we have two different temperaments in a redfish. Either they're aggro-aggressive, where they've been feeding on finfish, like mullet and pinfish and that kind of thing, where they almost completely come out of the water and land on top of the topwater plug. Or you have the redfish that has been feeding more on shrimp and crabs and crustaceans and stuff, and here's the plug coming by and just takes kind of a swipe at it and a push at it, and with their mouths being located on the bottom of their head, they're not exactly designed like a trout or like a snook or even a tarpon to come up and take a plug off the surface. So they almost have to invert and kind of roll up and eat it to get it really good.
Kind of awkward for them.
Yeah. And what's really cool is whenever you catch one on a topwater plug, it's always special.
No doubt. Now, I have a question for people in the chat, because they're pretty awesome here. We're talking about saltwater and stuff like that. Now, do you guys ever think about fishing in Canada, or, have any dreams of catching any of the fish that we have here? That's my question. Well, they're starting to answer. Yes, someone said, doesn't it get cold up there? Yes, it does. The variety of seasons we have here is crazy. And, it's so cold in the winter and so hot and humid in the summer. It's just wild. I appreciate the change in seasons so much.
Well, now, Ashley, that's not really fair. We have four seasons down here, right?
Yeah, I know, but it depends where you live. You guys have different seasons.
Down here in Central Florida, we have almost summer, still summer, and Christmas. That's our
That's great. Yeah,
I was
going to
say trout season, snook season, flounder season.
Yeah, I love that. The people who go by the fishing season.
Here you go. You got some people that are saying they'd like to try ice fishing. Folks that want to say they want to try muskies and walleye and stuff, so that's cool.
Yeah.
I had some friends who used to do, that I worked with, that did a lot of ice fishing. A couple of the guys lived in Minnesota, but they also did this spearing. I can't think of what you call it.
Oh, yeah, spearing. Bow fishing with a bow and arrow?
No, this was like a flounder gig. I guess it's like gigging. Their little house would be all dark, so the only thing light would be the hole in the ice, and they would spear, and I mean muskies and, some huge.
Oh, really?
So I don't know if that's a normal thing in
there's a lot of controversy here that I probably, I'll try to get into it lately, but there's, it's hard to really describe, but here, the people who are allowed to spear are native people, and, they can spear. I don't know what the rules are on that. They can spear, I think, any time of the year, and, you know, a lot of people don't like it and stuff like that. So I've never done it. I don't even think we're allowed to do it. I guess it just depends on culture and stuff like that. But I do know the people do bow fishing, and I've, like, with a bow and arrow, and I've never seen anyone do it, and I don't know the regulations on that either. I've never had interest in doing it, but I guess it's because I like catch and release. So.
Yeah, there's not a lot of catch and release with the bow fishing. It's
No. Not unless you miss, I guess.
See, what's the best reason to do a Canadian adventure?
What's the best reason? Just like any, you know, any adventure, it's always fun to do something that you've never done, or to catch something that you've never caught, or to, you know, just visit somewhere new and experience, you know, different country. I guess that would be my answer, and that's why I go visit other places. So, Canadian boondoggle, that's a great idea.
Yeah, hey, I'm game. I've been to Canada a few times when I was younger.
I'll help you host it.
For a boondoggle.
I'll help you host it. That'd be fun.
There you go. Chip unfortunately fell off the line, but if he was here, he'd probably be cool for it too.
Cool. Maybe next year. Unless you guys have it all mapped out already.
Yeah. How is the kayak community growing in Canada? Is the sport itself growing pretty quick up there?
I would say so. You know, it's different because, you know, there's a lot of people that are a lot more spread out here. And I don't see a lot of people kayak fishing on the water when I'm out. But the main, you know, where I talk to people, the main source of communication is through social media. And I don't know if it's the same with you guys or, you know, if you're out and you see people constantly kayak fishing.
Yeah,
you
do.
You do, okay. It's definitely growing here.
Yeah,
it seems that kayak angling is more of a saltwater or, you know, inshore sport. It's grown a lot faster in saltwater than it has in freshwater. I saw a friend of mine's Facebook post from Kentucky, I believe, earlier today, and he was excited that the first tournament that he was going to be able to go to was coming to his area, and it was like 3 hours away from where he was. And that's just, you know, that's just amazing because, he, in our area, any given weekend, you have a choice of places to go, you know, for tournaments. And it's amazing that, you know, in freshwater that it just, you know, kayak fishing hasn't caught on quite as much. So
yeah, there's a few tournaments around, and there's, you know, I've heard of one circuit that's local. I just chose not to fish it for personal reasons that I can't say, but, you know, it's definitely growing, and it's great to see. And I mean, I get to, you know, talk to people at trade shows and stuff like that are buying kayaks or thinking about it. So I think it's growing, but you guys definitely have way more people that are into kayak fishing.
Yeah, it is kind of amazing that it's grown so fast in saltwater. You know, and a lot of it has to do with we have so much warm weather. You know, we can kayak pretty much year-round. But let me ask you this question, the question about what would be the reason to come to Canada to do a kayak fishing trip. But I know that you would love to highlight your own hometown, your own area. But for the group down here on the Space Coast in Florida, if you were going to recommend a lake, a location, someplace in you know, in Canada, what would you recommend to be the highlight, the showcase of Canadian kayak fishing? Where would you recommend?
Wow, that's kind of a tough question. That's like choosing a species that, you know, you want everyone to remember the trip by. So that's sort of hard. I don't know. I mean, I live in an area, in a region, it's called the Land of Lakes, and there's over 5,000 lakes in this region alone. And there's some beautiful areas, and, you know, you can drive, you know, and it feels like you're in the middle of nowhere, and you are. And, you know, it's amazing to be on a lake when there's, you know, little to no cottages and no one around. I think that would be a fun experience, something like that. But then again, we have so many different species of fish, and, you know, there's, I haven't been all around Canada, so there's, you know, so many different experiences out there. I would, if it was in this area, I would choose something, I don't know, it's hard to say what species. I mean, if it was, if we were serious about planning it, I would put out a poll that's like, what species would you want to target type thing. And that would determine what time of the year and where and all that kind of information.
Forgive my ignorance, but in your area, are there grayling or is that further west?
There's no grayling in my area. I've never caught one. That would be further north or I think west.
That is definitely a fish on my list of things to catch that I have to catch. Like, it's a very strange, sailfish-looking, not-so-sailfish-looking fish.
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty amazing-looking, and I'm with you on that. I'd love to catch them, too. I haven't done that yet.
Let's see what else is going on. Please donate the prize pack to help Emily now. Good job on you, brother.
if we were to do a boondoggle here, I'd like to ask everyone what species would you want to target?
Here?
Hopefully they know. What, like, say it was in Ontario. That's where I live, Ontario. What species would you guys like to target? Musky? Women? Good luck. Oh, dear.
You asked. let's see.
Musky, yeah, that's kind of a hard thing.
Musky or pike, salmon. Actually, you know what? Salmon would be cool. And trout.
Well, I would want you guys to, you know, come over here and catch something that you'd have a chance of catching. I mean, musky tournaments aren't very common, and over here we're really, you know, promoting catch and release of musky. And I know, you know, kayak tournaments are catch, photo, release, but I guess as anglers you understand that you may not catch something, and it's about the experience. But I don't think I'd choose musky. I would say like walleye or maybe pike or bass. Like, I don't know, maybe bass is really popular over there too. But
smallmouth bass,
smallmouth, yeah.
Yeah, we have some really incredible lakes here that have bass and you know, all kinds of different species in them. But, you know, it's just the scenery is amazing and the lakes are so clear and there's no one on them. And we have lakes, too, that are non-motorized, so there's no boats allowed.
Nice.
Now, Ashley, fine. When we're talking about the boondoggle, you've got to look that up on Facebook. It's not actually not a tournament. There may be some little mini tournaments run during that. But
oh, okay. Sorry.
Boondoggle is a festival. There will be more imbibing and debauchery and silliness and, you know, camaraderie and fellowship than anything. You know,
that's cool.
Of a festival than anything. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know.
Yeah, when we started the boondoggles back in, let's see, about 3 years ago, we started the boondoggles, and the first one that we did, like I said, there was only about 15 or 20 people that showed up. It wasn't a very big deal because, truth be told, Kayak Fishing Radio at the time only had probably 1,000 listeners a month. And between that and YakAngler.com, which at the beginning stages of YakAngler.com, again, there were maybe only a couple hundred people that were even on the website. So now it's one of the more popular websites for kayak fishermen. But anyhow, so we started as kind of just a goof to bring the group of us that kind of started in the little circle of Kayak Fishing Radio and YakAngler.com. Is like there's like 20 of us or so that were like the first one, so to speak, involved in both. And it was just a way for us to bring that group of people together. Camaraderie, fellowship, whatever you want to call it, and throw in some kayak fishing for fun.
That's amazing.
And so it grew slowly into something a little bit different at the next event, and then next thing you know, we're in Chokoloskee, Florida, which is down near the Everglades, just south of Everglades City, and on the west coast of Florida, and we had
Are you there?
There you are. We had about 65 people at that one, and it was a lot of fun. And then we went up to Virginia Beach in the central United States, whatever, and fished the Chesapeake area, and we had about 70, maybe 80 people at that one.
Wow.
And then, like I said, the last one we just did was down here, and we had over 300. And so
they kind of exploded.
Yeah, and then what's really cool about the Boondoggles, too, is that we kind of incorporate some raffles and things like that throughout the weekend or whatever, and we get huge donations from various kayak manufacturers. We gave away, I think, four or five kayaks at the last one, and including rods and reels and custom artwork and clothing and just tons and tons of stuff. I mean, I don't even know how many. We gave away gift bags last year, too. Almost just about everybody who showed up walked away with like a little captain's bag with a bunch of goodies in it and stuff. So it was a lot of fun. This one that we're doing now, the last one we did got the attention of some cities around the United States, and they actually contacted the guys from YachtAngler.com and Chip Gibson and had interest in hosting a boondoggle in their city. So they actually pushed forth the effort to get us to come out to their locations, which was just awesome. And this next spot we're going to is super, super cool. Andrew is from that area, lived in that area for a while. He is like the back of the band, and to hear him tell us about the species we can catch there and everything else is cool. But what's more important about our events than fishing is the camaraderie and the fellowship and the networking that goes along with being around that many like-minded people from that far of a diverse lifestyle/economic status, which is really cool. It's something that you don't get in a boating tournament or a boating event at all. There's guys that run, our offshore tournaments here that fish out of million-dollar sport fishermen that are not going to be sitting around drinking a cold beer with the same guys that are fishing that tournament out of a 19-foot center console. It's just a different, group of people. Whereas,
and that's what kayak fishing is.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where you come from, what your day job is. Nobody cares at that point. It's just, hey, we all sit in silly plastic boats and chase fish around, and it's a lot of fun, and, it's really cool. I mean, we have families that come out and bring their kids up to these events, so it's really cool. But I just got the word in my ear. We have literally 90 seconds left in the show. Ashley, real quick, plug yourself if you don't mind, and
give us some information, how
we can get hold of you.
Thank you all for listening. It's been really cool to chat with you guys in the chat there as well. You can find me on shelovesthefish.com, and I really appreciate you having me on the show again, and I look forward to talking with you guys again.
Absolutely. And, Andrew, what do you got going on this week, buddy?
I know you got your KBB In the Water Boat Show demo day going on, but don't forget Captain Pat's got the KFC this weekend. He rescheduled for Saturday, so if anybody wants to come down and fish, hit me up, and I'll see what I can do about telling you where the fish are.
Thanks for calling, Andrew.
Yeah, sure. It was great talking to you.
You too.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks again, Ashley. I appreciate you being on here, and I look forward to talking to you again soon. And, if anybody has any questions, comments, concerns about the show, you know how to get a hold of me, redfishchuck@hotmail.com. Find me on Facebook. Support our sponsors. Without the sponsors, we wouldn't be able to do these shows and fish the way we love to fish. So, with that, I'm out. Ashley, take it easy.
Thank you very much.
We'll talk to you guys soon. See you.
Bye.